Good morning to you all. This is Brother Wilmer Kaufman this morning. I wish you all a good morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, and when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the time, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Some interesting verses here. When we are born of the Spirit, when we are born into the family of God, there are some steps that are necessary for this to happen, and that is to believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And deep down, most of us believe that there is a God. Even the devils believe that there is a God, and they tremble. But for those who have been born again and have been born in the Spirit, born into the Spirit, or born into the family of God, he has quickened us. Quicken here in verse 1 would mean that he has made us alive. He has made us alive in the areas that we are to be alive. You know, when Adam sinned, before Adam sinned, he was alive. Everything within Adam was alive that was supposed to be alive. And everything that was supposed to be dead was dead within him. But when he sinned, that changed around. The things that were supposed to be alive within Adam died. And those things that ought not to be were made alive. And when we come to Christ, when we accept Christ, when we, the term born again is used a lot in this, is when those things within us that need to die must die. And then those things that within us that need to be alive become alive. And in order for us to in order for us to be healed from some of those dead things within us that ought not to be alive, is to confess one to another that these things are within us. To confess them and to pray with each other. And then the Spirit of the Lord comes, and for some reason, that person can now be healed from the dead things, from the things that are alive within him and ought not to be alive. And by that dying away, we then now can have and receive life, the things that ought to be in our life. I don't know why it works, but it works. God has chosen one imperfect person to confess to another imperfect person, and that is when he chooses to come, and his Spirit does his work within us. But anyway, coming back to Ephesians 2:1 here, and you hath he quickened. he wants to quicken us. He wants to make us alive. He goes on to say here that in times past, we have walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He goes on to say, among whom also all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I'd like to point something out here. It says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. There's that the fulfilling the desires of the flesh would be and of the mind, or would be fulfilling the desires of the outer man. And it says we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There is a time when a person is defiled inside and out. But it goes on to say, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. I find it interesting there. It's in Ephesians 1, it speaks about that he has quickened us. And then in Ephesians 2 and 3, it goes into before we were quickened. But then in verse 4, it says, but God. Here's where the picture changes. But God. When we allow God to come in, when the inner man, when we invite him into our lives, we're willing to get rid of all this that he has talked about here, the desires of the flesh and the mind, and the disobedience in our lives, when we come to a place where we're done with those things and we turn to God. It says in Ephesians 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And it goes on to say there in verse 5, even when we were dead in sin, he has quickened us together with Christ. Even while we were dead in sin and disobedient to him, did not love him, did not accept him, did not look to him for help. When that changed, even though we were still full of disobedience and all that, when we turned our face, when we turned our face to Jesus, when we turn our face to God, he quickens us together with Christ. That's just beautiful. He quickens us together with Christ. It gives us a picture there. It gives us a picture of being fastened to Christ. Gives us a picture of being one with Christ. And goes on to say, by grace ye are saved. By grace. It's not something that we worked up. It's just something that we agree to. Something interesting here is when Lucifer was in heaven, when he, the angel in heaven, when he rose up against God, there was a battle there in heaven according to scripture. There was a battle there in heaven, and of course Satan lost. And when Satan lost there, something happened. The light of Christ left Satan. Satan is totally dark. There is no light in Satan at all. None whatsoever. And I guess there may be people here in this world that have no light of Christ in them anymore. But I sincerely doubt that. I don't think that's true. I believe that every person on this earth, I don't want to say for sure, but I would say for the most part, people on this earth that are still on this earth have the light of Christ in them. Now, there's a big difference between the light of Christ and the life of Christ. I have yet to meet anyone anywhere where the light of Christ had completely gone out in that person. In other words, that person absolutely has no conscience. Now, there may be times when a person gets to that state. Maybe we read that on the news or see it different places where we would have a question mark whether the light of Christ had completely gone from that person. But for the most part, my guess would be, and this is just my guess, this is not the word of God, but my guess it would be that at least 999 people out of 1,000, or maybe one out of 1,000,000. only one out of a million would not have the light of Christ in him. The light of Christ is, the way I see it, is simply the conscience. Where you see, or I should back up there, it's not the conscience, it's what you see in the conscience of a person. I have yet to see a person that has no conscience at all anymore. So, having said this, I believe there's a light of Christ in most all people here on earth, if not all of them. And when a person really gets against it, and they start agreeing with that light of Christ that's in them, he turns his face and he starts to agree that which is already in him, the light of Christ. He can then call out in the name of Jesus. He can then call out to his heavenly Father. He can turn to the cross. He can turn to the blood of Jesus. And then not only the light of Christ can be in him, but the life, capital L-I-F-E, can be in him. And when that happens, he is quickened. He is quickened. Why is he quickened? Because he agrees with the light. The person agrees that Jesus is true. He agrees that Jesus is the Son of God. He agrees that Jesus is the Son of our Heavenly Father. Therefore, he agrees that there's a God and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it says that even when we were still dead in sins, in other words, there is no life in us. And when we agree that God is and Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he quickens us together with Christ. All of a sudden, not just the light of Christ is within us, but the life of Christ is in us. And for many of us, we have no clue to the extent of that. And that is what we spend the rest of our life walking out, is to discover God, to discover his power. By faith, discovering this quickened power within us. Many of us don't realize, and I don't think I do, I don't realize the power that lies within us. And he goes on to say, by grace ye are saved. In other words, it's nothing that we did. We were born with the light of Christ in us. We were born with a conscience. We were wonderfully and fearfully made. And by grace, that grace is there, is just simply to agree that God is right and Jesus Christ is right. Goes on to say, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I did speak about us not realizing who we are in Christ. Here it says, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, when we are together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just for an example, it says that Jesus went to heaven and he is seated at the right side of the Father. When we are in Christ Jesus, so many of us don't realize this. And, you know, the enemy doesn't want us to realize this. The enemy glories when he sees his children wallowing, or say desperately battling the waves of the sea, and not realizing that we are seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Many Christians are battling the waves when by faith they could realize and accept that they are in Christ Jesus in heavenly places at the right side of the Father, seated at the right side of the Father. It's awesome. This is an awesome gift to think that man has done nothing and can do nothing to receive this gift, except to turn his face towards it, accept it, and agree with it. In verse 7, that in ages to come he might share the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith. For by grace ye are saved through faith. It is by grace that we are saved, but it takes faith. In other words, at some point, we need to stop in our life, make a 180-degree turn, and by faith, agree with the light that is already within us by agreeing with our conscience that there is a Father, that there was, that Jesus Christ is his Son. And even though we can't see them, if we could see them with our physical eyes, then faith would not be necessary. But faith is when we see the invisible that is true. And as we grow in by faith, we can come to a point where the invisible is more tangible to us than the tangible that is actually visible physically. For by grace ye are saved through faith. Faith is something that it's like muscle. In order for it to grow, we must use it. And the more that we use it, the more it grows. And the more strength we get. It's for by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We have some people thinking that our level of faith is not up to us. They might take a verse like this and say, well, it's the gift of God. If you have a large gift of faith, that is of God. If you have a small gift of faith, that's, and they excuse themselves in that way. I don't think we can excuse ourselves in this. The gift of God is that we were saved by grace and through faith. The gift of grace is of no use to us until we receive it and agree to it by faith. This gift of grace is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. As far as faith is concerned, I think faith is exercised. And the more that we exercise in faith the things of God, the clearer things will become to us and the stronger we will become. And when I'm talking about an inner strength, I'm not talking about an overpowering, manipulating, strong-worded way. I'm talking about a faith that's deep within the heart, soul, and mind of a person. It's a faith that that no matter what happens here on this earth, even to the point of death, even to the point of being persecuted or being put to death for our faith, this faith cannot be taken from a man or from a woman. This is a faith that grows and grows within us to a point that has such a strength, an inner strength, that no one can take it from us, no matter what. He goes on in Ephesians 2:9, not of works, lest any man should boast. How many of us would be boasting if there's two ways that we could boast here? The one is to boast that we worked out our own salvation. The Bible does speak about working out your own salvation. However, that is in a different context than this is here. If we could boast, if we could figure out a way ourselves, if we hop back to verse 3, where it says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, if we could with our mind figure out how to be saved and we could work it out in that way, there would be some very saved people here on this earth, and there would be some that are barely saved. This grace, this gift of grace, I just marvel when I think of how the plan of salvation was all put in place, and how it's put in place where the poor have the very same opportunity than the rich do. It doesn't matter who the person is, where the person is on this earth. Every person has the same opportunity, is to receive this grace through faith. It's not available any other way. The other way that a person could boast is if he would think that he is favored by God somehow, that he, out of possibly only 3% of the people on the earth today, are truly saved. Now, that is not a figure out of scripture. That's just a figure to look at, and there's just to look at an estimated figure. Only 3% of the people on the globe today are experiencing what God really intended for them to experience while here on earth, according to statistics. The other way we could boast and could be proud is if we think we are in that 3% and the rest are not. I think I think if we can truly see the nature of wrath that we were in, if we can truly see that, I don't think boasting will be a part of us. I think boasting will be completely wiped out from us. In fact, if we're still boasting in this salvation, would you not agree with me? Would put a question mark on where we stand. Verse 10 is very interesting here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we walk in them. Now, it says, for we are his workmanship. Yes, we are. We are his created. We are the created, created in Jesus unto good works. We were created into Jesus Christ unto good works. And I believe that is 100% of all human beings were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. However, so many people today try to be in Jesus by their good works. That is backwards. As long as we are striving through good works to be in Jesus Christ, we will never experience, we will never, ever, ever experience what was meant for us to experience in Christ Jesus. It's for us to believe, accept, and agree with our Heavenly Father and in Jesus Christ is when the good works that were ordained within us, that we should walk in them, that is when those works can start to flow in and around and out of our lives. But in order for that to happen, in order for to happen what was ordained within us, we must agree. We must make that turn and agree and accept this grace by faith. And when we do that, the dead things, the things that ought not to be alive within us, can die. And the things that ought to be alive within us can be alive and quickened in Christ. And then there's a well opened in our lives, and the good works can flow because of what Christ has done, and because Christ within us, and because we are in Christ, we are one in Christ. We have a wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Father. We have a wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I just wish you a very good day as you walk in the light of Christ, in the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Father, as you go through this day.